something wrong with Zoom. He says he can't join.
I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised.
Okay, maybe he needs to shut it down.
And I invite you to respond to the verses.
Somebody
as
put,
we go.
Type this number in.
I will call upon the Lord.
I'll just take a picture of that.
I will call upon the Lord.
Good to see everyone's face here today and hear
here just visiting with us today, a special welcome to you. We're glad to have you. And if you notice that we do have air conditioning, it's just that it's not turned on because we have to have airflow. And we've got a lot of flow from the south. I think it's coming from Missouri, coming through the church here. And we just have to have that. And you guys are social distancing here, which that's new words to us from a year ago. And we're just glad that you're here today. I do want to just share with you a couple of things that may be of interest to you. If you have ink cartridges, like for your personal computer type of thing, and they're empty, you can bring them to the church, drop them off, and they'll be going toward missions. I didn't realize that you can reuse them or get money for them. And so that's just the small ones, I guess, right, Charlie?
The ones that you use at home.
The ones you use at home. So if you got something like that, you want to get rid of them, bring them to the church. Also, just to pray for our country. You know, one of the things I was thinking of here just the other day, as you think of all the things going on in different cities, I'm going, you know, our country has really lost what it means, the golden rule. You know, if they really understood what the golden rule is that Jesus taught us, which is do unto others as you'd have others do unto you, we'd be a lot further ahead in a lot of things that go on in our nation. And it's just, it's so simple, but yet we see that, you know, Jesus is really just kind of thrown out of the whole mob scene. And we need to be in prayer and to continue to ask the Lord to use these times as a way of bringing us back to Him, not running away from Him and seeking His face. That's all I'm going to say on that. If you want to be depressed, watch the news. If you want to have hope and have a life, don't watch it. June birthdays. Anybody here has got a June birthday? There are some that are here today. Okay. Is one. Who else has got one?
Julie.
Enid. Way back there. Enid. You know, one of the things I thought that people would move to different pews during this time, but you know, you're just like the cows. You call home, you the mountain, they know their stanchion, they know where they go. But I'm not calling you a cow.
Hey, Tim, we should have a birthday pew next time.
A birthday pew? It would have to be a real long one, 6 feet apart. But a happy birthday to those of you that have birthdays in the month of June and an anniversary. Anybody married in June? Okay, Jim and Barb?
7th, June brides.
Okay, Angie and Al were married in June. How many years this coming year?
41.
At least you can remember that, Al. 41, that's good. Yeah, we're good. Anybody else have an anniversary coming in June?
Mine, but he's in heaven. 53 years for us, it would have been.
53, that's good, Karen. Yeah.
Well, those are good job, Tim, on all the landscapers.
Yes, great job on your landscapers. Yeah.
Thanks for letting me do it. That's all I can say. Thanks for letting me do it. And I've had help along the way, so it's not just me. It's been a lot of other people too, but it's just been fun to do. And I tell some people, you haven't seen anything yet. Wait till the things start blossoming out there, and then you're going to be going like, I think you should have a church out there. But there's a lot of surprises still coming that I know what they're going to be like. But you don't, but so it's going to be fun just for you to be able to see what God's going to do through the things that were planted. One other announcement here is that there's a church council meeting on Tuesday. We just don't know where it's going to be. But it's at 7 o'clock. You'll get an email from Denny letting you know if we'll be meeting here at the church or if you will Zoom it. So stay tuned for that. That's this coming Tuesday. And so that's all the announcements that I have, unless I'm missing something here. Any other announcement? Okay, seeing that, well, let's just pray before we turn it over to the band here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us here this morning. Thank you for everyone that brought through the doors today. Be with those, Lord, that are listening to us on their devices. If it's Zoom, if it's some other way, it's beyond me. But Lord, we're grateful that we can still keep in touch through this time. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for our leaders. And sometimes, Lord, that isn't always an easy thing to do. But it's not an easy job either. Our country is huge. It's large. It's got lots of different people in it. And Lord, you cannot satisfy everybody, no matter what. We find that, Lord, even in church, we want to satisfy everybody, but we want to keep everybody happy, and sometimes that just isn't realistic. What we want to do is be a part of what you would have us to be a part of, which is to see people come to know Christ as their Savior, that people would grow in their faith, that people would repent of their sin, that people would just humble themselves and say, Lord, there's a lot of things I don't understand, but you're a God who knows everything. And so we're thankful for you in meeting us here today as we come before your table a little bit later, that it's a special time today that we can lay down our burdens, lay down our sins, confess them, and to receive all that you want to give to us through your means of grace. And so we lift your name up this morning. Be with the worship team as they sing and lead us in song. And be with the message today. Your word, Lord, may it come alive for us today as well, even though it's kind of preaching to the choir today. But still, maybe someone here who still has not heard your word in the way in which it will be presented and given today. So encourage our hearts, lift us up. May we leave different than the way that we came in today because of Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand as we share this song together in worship? Jesus Messiah, love is so amazing. Jesus is the Messiah.
You.
read on the screens what your part is in this confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. It's scary, isn't it? He knows everything about us this morning. You can't hide a thing. Even if you keep your mouth closed, it goes on in your mind and in your heart. God still knows what that is. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take some time of silence. Allow you to just have some time, some quiet time with you and God alone, and do some self-examination and confess whatever the Holy Spirit brings to your mind. And praise God if there's praises that you want to give to Him this morning as well. Let's do that together. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given to me your Son, who has laid down his life for us as well as me, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins and for my sins. Lord, we praise you for this. In Jesus' name. No. It's new to me. It's a great song. As the worship team sits down, Bob is going to then play his top 10. He's working his way down of the great songs of faith. And there's no ushering for the offering today. Just want you to know that there are plates as you come in or in the back. You come with an offering, like you give an offering, you just put that in a plate. We're just trying to not touch it.
I love room over here.
Gone to a touchless society here.
And,
when it comes to communion today, it's going to be a little bit different than what we're used to, and I'll explain that when that time comes, of how we'll do that this morning as well. So, with that, Bob, I'm going to turn it over to you with 6 and 5.
That's right. Thanks, Tim. This is a Worship Institute seminar, and you're aware of how this has worked. I go down, 10 down to 1. If you've forgotten, 10 was when I surveyed the wondrous cross. 9 was in Christ alone. Great is thy faithfulness, 8. How firm a foundation, 7. So we do 6 and 5 today. Again, this wasn't anything that Tim songs came out or I did or anything like this. It was an institute that was 2 years ago looking to find out where America and where the internationally, where the love for the hymn is coming from. So it's 6. It's a prayer. It's a plea. It's a declaration of God's infinite greatness since 1885. This song was written by Carl Gustav Boberg, a 26-year-old pastor in Sweden. As the story goes, Boberg was caught in a thunderstorm one Sunday afternoon at the church. And from his perch in the mountains, Boberg watched as the storm swept in with a bolt of lightning and a massive clap of thunder. The storm hurtled through the meadows and grain fields, reverberating across the countryside at the sound of its astounding power. And after the storm, Pastor Boberg looked out his windows overlooking Monsteris Bay. The rainbow spread across the sky. The birds were singing. The church bells were softly tolling. And Carl was overwhelmed by God's power and majesty. The result was an outpouring of adoration and worship and the writing of the song, O Stuart Gut. The song made a circuit of translations, German, Russian, and English, and picked up a stanza from an English missionary, Stuart Hine, in 1949. Now the song is sung by millions of Christians in dozens of languages, all praying the same heartfelt prayer of humble adoration, My God, how great thou art. 6. O Lord my God, when I am lost on earth, consider all the worlds thy hands can bring. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Thank you. battle hymn of the Reformation, speaks of fortresses, strategy, and ancient foes, and winning the battle. In Martin Luther's time, it was an all-out battle for the faith. Martin Luther was the bulldog of the defender. Going head-to-head with the established church and her officials, he didn't flinch when challenging the Catholic Church's departure from true faith. Even Luther, however, had his bouts of depression. He penned the words to the song around 1527, a paraphrase of Psalm 46. At times of discouragement, Luther would sometimes turn to his young friend, Melanchthon, saying, "Let's sing the 46th Psalm." He would pull out his lute and strum the chords of this triumphant song, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." As the Protestant Reformation rolled on, believers often experienced the sting of persecution and even death. In their final moments, many were known to sing that inspiring stanza, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever." We'll sing two verses.
Commanded you, and surely I am with you always,
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Lord, use these words in our lives this morning, even if we've heard it many, many times. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We find in our text this morning, it's really the marching orders of the church. Every Christian church, this is our marching orders. Matthew gives us the words of Jesus Christ, doesn't give us his own words. These are Christ's words, and I just read to you here today. And it's also what we could call that this is the mission statement of every believer and every follower of Jesus Christ that we find here in Matthew. A mission statement. This is what we believe. This is who we are. This is what we will be about, doing, a part of. And it's better known, this portion of Scripture is better known as the Great Commission. And that's probably not anything new for any of you that are here today, but there's just kind of two things I want to stress on what the Great Commission is, this mission statement, these marching orders that God has given to us here at Harbor of Joy and anyone else who is listening. There's just two things. We're to go with the gospel. We are to take it to where people have not heard it, or be patient enough with people who have heard it, but explain it to them what the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is all about. We're to go, not just the pastor, corporately. Each one of us are to own this, and we are to go. Secondly, is that we are meant to make disciples. That's a little tougher. It means people who come to believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they need to know, like, okay, here's where we, what the next steps that we do because we believe in you. I've had some interesting people in my lifetime that come up to me and said, Pastor Tim, would you disciple me? It scares the heebie-jeebies right out of me. And I'm just kind of like, did this disciple you? I go like, I don't think I got anything I can do to give you the disciple you on a one-on-one type of a thing. And to my shame, I just never really followed up on those who asked me to be a part of their lives doing that. I just kind of said, well, just do what I do. No, you see what I do? Just do that. That's the best advice I can give to you. And so there never has been like a weekly meeting or a monthly meeting with some guy that wanted me to disciple him. And I say that to probably my shame than anything else. I'd ask, I want for us to, as a church, how are we doing? How is Harbor of Joy doing when it comes to going and making disciples? I just want you to think on that for a little bit this morning. How are we doing as a church? I know we could have a lot of different answers if we allowed that time to be given here today. But in all of this, this is what I really kind of want when it comes to stepping on your toes this morning. You are either a missionary or you are a mission field. There is no in between. And I heard that many, many years ago from some evangelist or from some other pastor in my life. And there's a lot of truth to that. You're either a missionary or you're a mission field. And that makes you ponder and think things through a little bit deeper than what we probably would do otherwise. Hopefully you're here today and you're a missionary. If you're not, then you need Jesus as your Savior. You need to see your sin for what it is, and knowing that it's only Jesus Christ that can forgive you of that sin, and to make you into being someone that you never thought you could ever be. If you'd have told me when I was in my teens that I would be a pastor in a church, I would have laughed you right out of the house. It just is impossible. But as time goes on, it wasn't until I was 30 that I finally realized that that's really what God wanted me to do. And so look all those years I wasted. Actually, it's kind of running away. It's kind of like Jonah. But finally, surrendered that to the Lord, and I said, okay, God, if that's what you want me to be, I'll do it under one condition. I don't want to be like all the other pastors that I know of. They're boring. And they put people to sleep. So, wake up, Jeff. Wake up, Jeff. And I said, I don't want to be that kind of a pastor. I want to be engaging, and I want people to think what the Word of God has to say and how it relates to them today. And so that's really who I am. And if that's what you're not looking for, that you don't like that, well, sorry. That's who I am. What I want to say about Matthew in his gospel is that he emphasizes this to the readers. To everyone who reads the book of Matthew, he wants everyone to realize that Jesus has the authority over all things. It starts out in the very first chapter where Matthew points to Jesus as being the son of Abraham and the son of King David. Those are the genealogy. Because it's important because Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has to come through that's connected to the son of David, the king of Israel. And sure enough, he goes through that genealogy and find that Jesus is related. That's his genealogy, his ancestry. That goes back to King David. So Jesus came to fulfill the prophecies that were given by the prophets. We go on in Matthew, we find that Jesus is born in a very unique, has a very unique birth. His mom had never had sex before with a man. And yet she became pregnant because the Holy Spirit said that he would come upon her and she would give birth. And she says, well, I've never been with a man. And so Jesus' entry into our world is a unique existence. And he was born of a virgin. The name that he gave to him is a name that we sang in one of the songs here this morning. He was given the name Emmanuel, and the name means God with us. What does your name mean? Anybody here says God with us? I do know someone in the past that his name was Emmanuel, but never knew it meant God with us. We know that the Magi from the east came looking for a new king that they saw in the stars and went to Jerusalem and followed the star there and then lost sight of it. And they talked to King Herod the Great, and Herod put on a big show like, well, when you find him, come and tell me because I want to go worship him too. They ended up going to Bethlehem. They found Joseph and Mary with the babe. They gave their gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they were warned in a dream not to go back to King Herod the Great. And so you're like, you know, those things just don't happen. Jesus is identified early on as the King of Israel. And he came from ways that you never thought would be possible. After he became 30 years old, and he began his ministry, he went out into the wilderness, led out there by the Holy Spirit to fast for 40 days and 40 nights and to be tempted by the devil. And we find that he had authority over Satan because he was tempted by him at least three times that we have recorded, and he overcame Satan's temptations with God's word. He used God's word. He has authority over sickness and over disease because he healed many people. He taught as one who had authority as you get to the end of the Beatitudes. And the people go like he preaches and he talks and teaches like no one else we've ever heard before. He speaks with authority. Remember the five loaves and the two fishes? He has the authority to do a miracle in feeding 5,000 plus people. And he does it again with 4,000. He has authority to walk on the water and to quiet the storms that would hit the Sea of Galilee. That his disciples witnessed this and were there. He has the authority to forgive sin. He has the authority over death because of his resurrection, and he has the authority to give eternal life. And so when he says in the end of chapter 28 of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He's right. He's right. And he commands us to go and make disciples of who? Says of all nations. You know, countries are made up of people. And so he's saying go to other places, other countries where there are people of different kinds of people and share the good news with them. How do you think? Look at your ancestry, Norwegian, German, Dutch, or French, whatever it is. Someone had to bring the good news to your people, where then eventually came to you. And you came to believe in Jesus. So it is to go out. And we therefore are to take it and to go out. It's not something we keep to ourselves. We are also to take it to others. Even in Milford, Iowa, and around about this place on the map. And he says that we are to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in the Lutheran tradition, this is where it's very important that children should have Sunday school. Be taught the things of God in Sunday school, and then confirmation instruction. And then to be able to encourage them to walk their whole life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. That's Jesus' words. And the last point I want to make is Jesus promises that he is going to be with us when we do this. Now keep in mind that he has not been glorified yet. He's still with the disciples. He's been with them. He'll be with them for 40 days after the resurrection, and then he will ascend into heaven, and that's when he is glorified. And he said when he goes, he will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. But they didn't know how long you're going to have to wait. He just said, wait until he comes. And they waited 10 more days before Pentecost Sunday came to be. Are you that patient? Could you wait 10 days? And you're not even sure what you're waiting for? I don't think I could. I'd go fishing. So I'm waiting the boat. Tell me when it happens. But they waited in Jerusalem in the room, the upper room, for 10 days. And the Holy Spirit came, and it comes in rushing of the wind. And tongues of fire that came upon their heads. And it's when the indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes from that time forth and on, that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Jesus Christ lives in us as we trust him and believe in him each and every day of our lives. And he says that I'm with you, how long? To the very end of the age, to the very end, whatever that it may be. But for your whole life, and when your life comes to the end, Jesus will still have been there with you. So the conclusion of today's message is just that these are words that comfort every fearful and troubling heart that wants to go and reach another person for Christ. Jesus gives us His Holy Spirit to accomplish this. And there will be people sitting in this church that we don't know about today, but next year in June, we'll be able to say names and have faces of people that we don't even know who they are today because God is using us to reach people for Him. There will be families, there will be single people, there will be widowed people, we don't know. But 1 year from today, we're going to take time during the worship service and say, who has become a part, who started attending Harbor of Joy since June of 2020? And there will be faces and names that will come up. I guarantee that will happen because we are part of Jesus Christ, and we put into practice what He gives to us to do. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, that it's one that is to be given out and not kept. We thank You for what You have done in our lives. We thank You for what You're going to do. And we know that whatever takes place, it's that You're behind it all. And we give You all the credit, we give You all the glory. And so, Lord, as You say, go and make disciples of all nations, we look to You to help us in carrying this out. Lord, we know that not everyone is probably an able body as he or she once was to go and do these kinds of things, but You can still pray for those who can and those who are willing to go. There are people from this church, Lord, that go across the ocean, that go to Africa. Not everyone can go or is willing to go, but we can help send people to these places. That Your gospel will be shared and people will experience its truths and its power in ways that are so foreign to us. But we want to be a part of Your work, Lord, wherever it may go. We pray, Lord, for even Milford area and the Great Lakes area. Pray for the families and the people who live in this area that don't attend church at all. The parents don't care to go, and therefore the children grow up without hearing a thing. They hear the name Jesus. They hear the word God. But it's all in vain. And it's used in ways that it's not for Your glory. And so, Lord, these are the people that You've called us to reach. Not an easy job, but that's where prayer comes in. And we pray that You use us, that we are a heart, a place where people can come and hear the truth, and to let the truth sink into their hearts and lives, that You may change us from the inside out, and helping us to be what we thought we never, ever could be or do. So we thank You for what You're going to do, and may You begin doing that now, today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, check the person's pulse next to you, see if they're still alive. And let us recite the Apostles' Creed together. Let us stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go back to the first time that Jesus stood up with his disciples, the evening before he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And he took bread. He took bread and he broke it after he had given thanks. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." As we are going to be serving you today, actually you're going to be, I think someone will dismiss you, come up, and you'll come up to the side over here. Denny will give you, well, he won't give you, he'll just say to you, "This is the body of Jesus Christ," and you'll be able to pick up your own wafer. So you get to touch that yourself. And then you come over around behind and I will say, "This is the blood of Jesus Christ." And you take your own cup, drink it. So eat the wafer, drink, and put your cup in the basket. And if you'd like to come up front and pray, you can sure do that. And return back to your seat whenever. Or you don't have to go up front to pray. You return and sit down as well. You'll notice that the cups are, the red is wine, and in the middle there are some cups that are clear, which would be grape juice. And so it's up to you whatever you want to take here today. So with that, I'll ask Denny if you want to come up. And then we'll be dismissed. Come forward for communion if you'd like.
There are some songs that we're singing during communion. If you want to join with lyrics on the screen.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The power of
Thank you.
crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.